Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, welcome to the Roastcast, AB. No. I'm not welcoming you to the Roastcast. You're already at the Roastcast. Let's welcome the people who just got here.
Let's do it.
Let me do that. Let me run that back. Like my first damn episode out here. Hey, welcome to the Roastcast. Listeners on your phones and a few of you on the internet. My name is Tim Kennedy, Jr. With me, as always, co-host and my personal bachelor Obi-Wan. Mr. Miyagi. What's the word? What do you, not mentor, but what's the word for somebody like?
Oh, you're talking about the young bachelor sensei, Rim.
Okay, did you just give yourself that nickname? You're now the young bachelor sensei?
that's me. Yep.
I'm not going to disagree with that nickname, young bachelor sensei. How much longer are you going to call yourself young and then give yourself a nickname? You're 30.
I would say till I'm 35, 40.
Okay, that's fair. AB, how are you feeling after so many people bit the dust this week, including some fan favorites or a fan favorite?
I'm just starting to wonder if this is a two more episode deal here, Rim. How many more? I was planning on this taking me at least till April.
April. So I don't understand. Are you implying that they might cut the season short?
This seems how are they going to not cut it short? We're talking about, like, not next week, but the week after will be hometowns, don't you think? Unless he starts cutting them off one at a time.
There's got to be an episode where no one goes home. There has to be.
Yeah, there really does. This is a short season. I mean, we're barely into this. What is this, episode 6?
I'm concerned about the Rosecast brand, personally. And I know you are, too. Because the Rosecast brand is exploding. I'm very concerned about our future. As Bachelor podcasters, I don't want to do Paradise, and I don't want to do any other knockoff reality shows. If they're going to cut the season short, they're pulling the rug out right from underneath us, AB. That's not fair, ABC.
Listen, a good podcast where the two people become famous, it needs time to cook, Rim. It needs time, like a fine wine. It just needs time, Rim.
The logo still has the damn sticker on it, straight from the store.
Come on. Slow down, Nick. This is all Nick's fault, too. Did we not tell people about Nick?
You did. I didn't, because I didn't. I don't know. I didn't know who he was before the season started.
Told
but
you.
Even so, I didn't hold back in my criticisms of him early. Do you think, now, is this the episode where you think the tide turned against Nick, the public tide fully turned against him? Like, who can be pro-Nick at this point?
This was it. I mean, if you weren't anti-Nick after listening to all these roastcasts where we've been ripping him to shreds, this was it. He got rid of your favorite, I assume.
Are you talking to me or are you talking to listeners? Because he didn't get rid of my favorite.
It could be tons of people that he got rid of that would be people's favorites, honestly.
That's true. So my suggestion, my recommendation to Roastcast Nations, which is if you were to make a Venn diagram, I'm big into Venn diagrams. Shout out to geometry, maybe math. I don't know what kind of math that is. Probably just social studies. Venn diagrams. Roastcast Nation, this circle right here, AB, that I'm making. Bachelor Nation, like a little bigger circle that is surrounding it. So my point is Roastcast Nation is growing. All right. That's the point I'm getting. I don't sip water while I'm making an important point here.
I don't know. Where's the Venn diagram part of this? What two things are you mixing?
I don't, just chill out. Just forget that never happened. My point is, Rosecast Nation, our recommendation is that we all, we unite together as one against Nick Vial and enjoy the season from that perspective. So I show up to The Bachelor and I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit here and watch it from the perspective of I like The Bachelor and I want him to find love. I'm going to scoot down to the other end of the couch and watch the TV from another angle. And that angle is, I don't like The Bachelor, and I hope he burns in hell.
So, like, you're moving to the petty ass side, like the petty hater side.
The petty hater side, exactly. I was in, like, the love, I love this show, and I hope everyone finds the optimistic side. Now I'm in the, this show is stupid. How can you even like this guy? These bitches are fake, et cetera, et cetera. The petty hater side. Anyway, before we get too far along, folks, if you're listening and you're enjoying this witty banter, why don't you take a little bit of time out of your day, go to the podcast app on your iPhone, search iTunes in the bottom right corner, search Rosecast, hit Rosecast by 8 screens, hit the icon in the bottom, hit reviews in the middle, hit write a review. It's misleading title because you don't have to write a review. We just want your 5-star rating. But you can also write a review if it so pleases you. Shout out to Rim for memorizing that. I didn't write it down. AB, let's pick up where the show begins. We open at the house.
So it ended last episode with Corinne and Nick on the end of a 2-on-1 date. And Taylor walking down the murder capital, USA, by herself in the pitch dark.
Those statistics are not confirmed.
Murder capital.
We don't. AB called it the murder capital last episode. He's doubling down on that. AB Trump just going in on murder statistics that he doesn't really know about deep down. But go ahead and continue.
Anyway, so Taylor's going to confront Nick about, I don't really know. I don't know what she's planning to do. I think she's just trying to go toxic on the whole show and just, you know, take everyone down with her, I assume is what her game plan is at this point.
I don't really know what her point in talking to Nick was. It wasn't to win him back. She didn't seem interested in winning him back.
No.
It wasn't to even save her own reputation.
No.
It was mostly so Taylor could leave the show as the person who was correct, in quotes. She cares more about being right about stuff than anything else, including falling in love. She'll sacrifice love for being correct.
Very true. So she shows up there. I thought it was pretty funny. She shows up kind of acting like civil at first. She's like, hey, guys, all happy. And then Corinne's like, what the fuck are you doing here? That's verbatim what she said. Came at her hot. Then she goes, first off, today, Corinne, your ass lied. Period. And we talk, Nick. And he's like, no, but sure.
She talked to Nick like someone who was saltily, like, trying to convince a Trump voter that they made a mistake on the night of the election. Like, just so you know, you were lied to. The person's like, I don't give a fuck. Nick doesn't care that Corinne lied to him. He doesn't care at all. She goes, I want you to, like, open your eyeballs because I'm not the only one saying this. She could not be more condescending. If you're sad that Taylor went home, you're out of your mind, my frank opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think this made any difference in Nick's eyes long term with Corinne, do you?
No, not at all. In fact, he goes back and tells Corinne, my decision wasn't based on what you told me. So basically saying, I don't care if you lied to me. Whether or not you lied to me is irrelevant.
Yep.
I think this just affirmed to Nick, this just affirmed that Taylor was the right girl to give the boot.
Absolutely.
Peace out, Taylor. We had high hopes as a pro mixed race duo. We had high hopes for you, Taylor, but you let us down. You let us down. You want to go to the rose ceremony? Another rose ceremony at the beginning of the goddamn episode. Is there like some sort of whitehouse.org petition we can start and see if we can get some higher ups to address this?
We have things we expect of The Bachelor, and Nick is not holding up his end of the bargain, period.
The standards are not being met. The standards that have been developed over almost a decade So we're back at your favorite plantation, AB. I assume it's probably a different plantation, actually, where they have this rose ceremony. Bet you didn't think you were going to get hit with some plantations on Black History Month on
really
your
did.
Favorite TV show. And it sucks the air out of the room. They're rolling through.
No mention of it either. No mention
no
of
mention
it from anybody.
It. No, they're all just kind of like, wow, it's so beautiful in here as they, like, go up the spiral staircase to the slave quarters. It's kind of awkward. Happy Black History Month. The big thing for me, pre-rose ceremony, and I didn't say notice I didn't say cocktail party, spoiler alert, folks. Pre-rose ceremony, shout out to Whitney getting more camera time than she had all episodes combined to this point.
Listen, who the fuck is Whitney? Rim?
My sleeper.
Whitney was acting like she was super confident in her relationship and there's no way she's going home and that her relationship continues to grow with Nick. No, Rim, show me the fucking tapes of this girl talking to Nick one time. Show me the tapes.
I did not see her speak with Nick one time. Not once.
This is the first time I've heard her talk.
I think that's probably true. Probably since the first episode when they showed every girl say like two words into the camera at some point.
Yeah.
This is the first time where she had a storyline to speak of. AB, I got a couple questions for you on this. It seems like a small thing, but I want to know.
Okay.
One, do they ever just completely ignore girls like this until midway through the season?
I've never seen anything like this, making it this far. I mean, usually they'll keep someone around that you don't really know about for a couple episodes, but we're down to 9 girls at this point.
Yeah, she was a top 10 girl. There were 30 girls to start, and we didn't know one of the top 10 girls. Okay, second, I thought Whitney was getting a push, to use a wrestling term. I thought they were building her up because she would be a major player down the road. I thought that, like I said last episode, sleeper. I thought Whitney had outside shot of the top 4 just based on the fact that we hadn't seen any of her yet. Is that a rare rookie mistake for me, or can you see that theory being plausible? Tell me if that's dumb, AB.
I think that's dumb.
All right.
That's what I need to hear. He's getting down to the level where it's girls that he has strong relationship or should have strong. He doesn't have any strong relationships.
Thank you for
saying that. On this series, they should be starting to have some strong relationships. So that person that has not had any time with him, hasn't had a one-on-one, hasn't done anything on group dates, hasn't got any group date roses, they're eventually just going to go home.
At this point, last Bachelor season, it was agonizing for Ben to send any of these girls home because he had such deep, penetrating relationships. I know everything about you and your family and where you're from, and ugh.
Hurts.
Nick's out here pulling names out of a hat. Okay. And we'll get to the two-on-one in a little bit, but the Emperor has no clothes here. We're starting to realize that this was the episode, again, that we realized we got a shitty Bachelor on our hands, folks, and he's not in it for love, even though this is his fourth and presumably final chance. But how are you going to marry Nick after this? Like, you know what I mean? None of these girls are going to marry him. We know that, right? So how are you going to be a regular girl out here at his office job and fall in love with Nick and marry him when there's all this video evidence on national television of him being a skeezball? Who's not in it for love? Who's not in life? Who's not in life for love? AB. shame on the girl that marries Nick Fayal. I'm gonna go to that wedding, and when the priest goes, anybody have any objections? I'll be like, yeah, okay, hello. This guy is not. He doesn't love you. Is what I'm gonna say to this stranger. All right, let's get finally the rose ceremony. Corinne, Danielle, Elle, and Rachel all have roses from their dates already.
Yes.
Roses go like this. I'm going to say them in order this time. Christina.
Mm-hmm.
Raven.
My girl.
Vanessa. Oh, oh. The angel singing in the background. Shout out to Vanessa. Danielle L. Chicka wow wow. That's the Danielle L music. Jasmine got a rose.
I'll
unbelievable. and Whitney, also Whitney. Now, first off, we kind of glossed over this, but Nick canceled the cocktail party before the rose ceremony. That's when Jasmine, Josephine, and Jamie knew they were going home. Those girls were certain
they were going home. Oh yeah, they were in trouble, and they knew it.
Jasmine basically said, I haven't talked to him yet. Like, and end of sentence.
Rim, I'm going to be honest with you. This rose, sir, when he pulled out the roses, I was absolutely baffled. There were 6 roses. I was expecting 8 minimum, maybe more. Honestly, he had 6 roses out there.
So you were surprised. You were stunned that he was cutting 3 girls.
I was stunned. Stunned. And I knew I didn't have enough time. I didn't have enough time to think about life without Alexis on this TV show, Rim.
Speaking of stunners, he sent Alexis home. Every week Alexis grew on us more and more. I'm gonna go to my eulogy voice, and I hope you'll join me down here in the calm eulogy voice.
Oh yeah.
Maybe Alexis grew on me every week. We knew that she wasn't gonna end up with Nick. We knew that they didn't have a love connection. We knew these things, but she always had a smile on her face. She brought joy to every room she was in. She lit up the room with her Jersey personality. I don't know why. That was New Zealand. My apologies. She lit up the room with her Jersey personality and just approached life in a way that more Americans needed to see in 2017. We needed more from Alexis. It was too soon. It was too soon.
Hit me like a ton of bricks, Rim. Took the full air out of me.
It was just a misstep from the producers. I think they thought we could live without this girl. I think they thought we can get rid of this bit character from the credits. And the answer is no. I needed a one-on-one Nick and Alexis date more than anything. I needed that.
I kind of thought, like, half in the back of my mind, and maybe it was just me, you know, wishful thinking, but I thought he might ask her to stick around and just, you know, eliminate her, but then also ask her to still hang out in the house and be like part of this process with him.
To go through it with him. Yeah. Oh, like she could be like an assistant. Like
she's like his wingman the rest of the way. So she goes on the dates just as a secondary character.
You got something there. Nick gave some generic goodbyes to Jamie and Josephine.
Yeah.
And then when Alexis rolls up, he goes, "You already know you're incredible." I feel like maybe they did stuff. Do you think they just, you know, had some fun? messed around a little bit.
Sad times.
Sad times. So, Alexis, goodbye. We loved you.
Try to carry on without her. I will remember
you. After the rose ceremony, we got the always awkward toast, while the people who just got kicked off are still like in the plantation front yard, like walking to the vehicle, and everyone's toasting. Shout out to Nick for delivering the way too long build up to the big reveal that they're going to an island. He just kept going on and on and on, and by the time he got to "We're going to St. Thomas," first off, no one knows what none of these girls know what St. Thomas is, except for maybe Vanessa. And by the time you get to this stupid reveal, they're like, "Can we just fucking have the champagne, please? It doesn't matter what island we're going to. They're all tropical islands." They're on St. Thomas. AB, what have we been doing? Why are we not in the island game? How come we've never been to a tropical island?
Not living, I'll tell you that.
You've been to beaches? You've been to more beaches than me? You've
not in the islands.
Probably been to islands? What are we doing out here?
Sitting out here in the dead winter in the Midwest like some idiots.
Idiots. A deer ran in front of my car the other day, and I was just like, I didn't really break. I was just like, just let's run into this thing. Doesn't even, whatever. Tired of winter. Tired of this bullshit. Just hit me, deer. All right. Nick's up in the airplane flying around. AB, you knew that when Nick was
around,
the guy was zooming around in the airplane, and they show him like waving down, and he goes, "Hey," you know for sure. They go, "Hey, pretend you're waving at the girls down there." And he goes, "Hey," like he's like, "Hey." What are you waving at these girls? They're a mile below you. It's like 5 of them. No enthusiasm having ass.
You can't even fake it.
This guy stinks. Hey, like his mouth doesn't move. Christina gets the one-on-one in front of everybody's ass, yep. which sends Jasmine into a total and complete adult meltdown.
She says, "It's just so hard when you've stayed so positive." Would you say Jasmine is the least positive girl in the house by far?
Jasmine is the queen hater of everything they're doing. Doesn't fuck with the haunted house. She doesn't have fun with anything. She's always hating on everything. My favorite Jasmine quote was, "I just try to be very strong." Jasmine, you cried on the first episode. All right, AB, you want to let's talk about the one-on-one daytime with Christina.
So Christina, they basically do your typical bachelor date. They're just out. They're in the St. Thomas, so they're going to go on the beach. They're going to lay around. They're going to talk a little bit, and then they're going to hop in the ocean and chill a little bit there. Christina starts talking about her life, which we had heard nothing about to date, which sounds like maybe the worst life of all time.
It didn't seem easy.
It sure didn't.
It made me feel ashamed for being fat. I'll put it that way. Well, you're right. Finally, she has a chance to tell Nick about her family. Six episodes in, and like four destination cities into this process, Nick is finding out, you know, basically what country she's from. The moment Christina touches on her difficult background by revealing that her sister still lives in Russia and she doesn't really mm-hmm. know her, the moment that happens, Nick basically asks her if she wants to go skinny dipping. Like, before
you
want to
go
like,
tip and dip?
Ladies, on behalf of most dudes, I just want to apologize and say that we're not all dogs, okay? This guy is a dog.
Who is this right? guy? Is this
scumbag?
Is this piece of trash for real?
Have you ever seen a bachelor care less about the girls? I mean, he doesn't know anything about Christina, probably based on her voice alone, the most interesting contestant on the show.
And she starts telling him the most interesting story about her home life in Russia and how her sister's still there. And he cuts her off. I want to go take a dip. You scumbag.
Scumbag. Scumbag. I mean, Ben would have found all of this out on the very first night.
Oh, yeah.
Period. Usually on one-on-one dates, we have a lot to talk about during the daytime. That's it. That's all that happened.
They took a dip. Yep.
They took a dip.
Ben wanted to see her in a bikini. That's all. Or Nick wanted to see her in a bikini. That's all this was. Unreal.
Shout out to Vanessa, though. You know how I'm starting to get the rhythm of how the shows go. You know, you got the one-on-one date, daytime, and then they go, "What's popping back at the house?" Well, some drama popping back here. Yeah. All right. Just a couple minutes back at the house. And then, back at the one-on-one nighttime date. So back at the house, we got my girl Vanessa dropping straight knowledge to the other girls about St. Thomas. A little history for your unlearned asses. Producers pulled a flex move on us here, AB. They pulled out the big guns. A masterstroke. You know what I'm talking about?
Lorna.
They pulled out Lorna. Okay.
What a move.
I mean, they knew that the nanny thing would capture America's attention. They thought, we got to bring a nanny out to St. Thomas.
Got to.
It's a shame they didn't play up that gimmick more, though. I really thought
that
was going
to be. Yeah, they really
could
have. Corinne also, when they check back in the mansion, she says, "I'm just going to take it easy today. I'm just going to lay in bed and sip champagne." The most baller shit I've ever heard in my life. Lay in bed, sip champagne.
Not lay on the beach or sit on the patio. Lay in bed and sip champagne.
Yo, girl.
Wouldn't even cross my mind.
I would never think to do that.
She's on another level of entitlement and laziness.
Oh yeah.
All right, let's get to the meat of the episode, the heart-wrenching, everyone in the America uniting around one contestant and falling in love, the one-on-one nighttime with Christina.
Wow.
You want to recap her life story?
I'm gonna cliff note it for you, Rim. You can fill in what you want. Lived with her mom. They were dead broke. She barely ate. Sometimes didn't eat. She apparently ate lipstick sometimes. I don't know. Said it didn't taste good.
That didn't really... The lipstick thing didn't really make sense. I don't know why she was eating lipstick.
Why would that be? Why? Number one, why'd you have lipstick if you couldn't afford... Anyways, moving on.
Exactly.
So she ate one day when her mom told her not to eat. So her mom kicked her out of the house.
Now, was she like 18, 24?
She was like 7.
I had 5 or 6.
Was it? Yeah, it was 5. You're right. It was 5.
You know what I was doing when I was 5?
What?
Sleeping on a little piece of rug on my preschool floor at private school. Shout out to private schools. nap time. I was going like this. Like, oh, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I need a little napski.
Unlimited
She's out
food.
Here grinding. Unlimited food. We had a fucking buffet. It'd be private school.
Every day, unlimited.
I have food is always at my disposal. Endless food always surrounds me. I'm always within arm's reach of food. Always.
Well, anyway, she at 5 gets thrown into an orphanage, which is hell.
I feel like she had to like work to get to the orphanage. She wasn't like picked up like.
Yeah, I feel like she had to like walk to one. Like she had to find one and like make the arrangements for her to stay at this orphanage.
She's gonna check in. All right, so who's dropping you off? No one. I'm 5. And
so she was in an orphanage for 7 or 8 years, she said, and apparently there's like a basically like a ticking clock at all times for these orphanage people where. But once they hit the buzzer, they become a prostitute. That's all there is to. There's the only option for a female at that point is to become a female or male, actually, is to become a prostitute. So she's running up against the clock and somehow gets adopted.
Gotta get out of there.
A miracle gets adopted to someone in America. I don't know how the hell that works. I don't know who in America, usually people adopting kids aren't adopting kids that old, but a miracle happened and Christina got out.
Man, good shit on the adoption knowledge. I don't know how people, you're right. You don't adopt a 13-year-old from Russia who doesn't speak English.
No, that's very weird. I don't know how that would happen.
Shout out to Christina's parents. I don't know who it was in her life, but Christina's teacher or some shit came with like the straight out of like Wizard of Oz type of line right here. Just straight Shakespearean, if you will. I'm going to do it in a Russian accent. You ready?
Yeah.
If you stay in Russia, your life will be black and white. If you go to America, it will be in color. I mean, this was so emotional for her, AB. It was hard. I tear up at the end of Undercover Boss. That's my thing. So obviously, this got me going, waterworks going a little bit. Christina cried just thinking about her friends in the orphanage that she left. Her second family, her real family.
What a hard life this
what
girl
a hard life.
Has had. She's so wise beyond her years, so mature. I mean, jeez. No, but sure, Rim, let's keep Corinne around. Let's keep some of these girls around. Sure, Nick.
I can't even laugh anymore. It disgusts me. You know? It disgusts me that Corinne is still here. And Christina will go on before Corinne. That's a fact. Let's just add another name to the list of women on this show who are better than Nick. So far, we got Vanessa, we got Rachel, we got probably Danielle M. you can put in there, and now Christina. That's 4 girls who are way too good for this guy, Nick.
They are doing a pretty good job. The Bachelor producers are doing a pretty good job of finding great stories and making you fall in love with the girls instead of falling in love with Nick, because they know they got a dud for a Bachelor. So they're coming with the heat when it comes to these girls' stories. They're laying it all on the line. And it's week after week we're falling in love with these girls. Like, that's like 4 people that I think could be bachelorettes. She's another one.
The Bachelor Sensei, folks. Yep. Coming at you, angles you didn't think of. Great point. From that deep emotional connection we make with one person to the group date, in my opinion, one of the most embarrassing group dates that I've seen in my time watching this show, and probably worst. Would you agree?
It's the worst I've seen. Everyone had the worst time. Group dates aren't fun, usually, but this took it to another level.
Not just that, it's the number of girls is It's the smallest group date. Each group date is smaller than the one before, of course. So it's the amount of girls there is not conducive to parceling off into your own little cliques. Like, a lot of these girls' friends have already gone home. On top of that, okay, so that's ingredient number one. Ingredient number two is you put them in a fucking competition so they can get angry. They have a built-in excuse to get angry with one another. And number three, you're giving them shots. What are you doing giving them shots?
Rim, the shots was the biggest mistake of the episode.
This was a classic girls drinking drinks that taste good, but they don't realize they're loaded with alcohol, particularly rum, situation. I mean, we've seen this before, AB. Girls think their pina coladas are just nothing in them. No, no. Honey, you can't drive, let alone play bags or volleyball at this point. Or speak to another human being without crying and pushing them.
That coupled with that this is kind of the week where it gets down to the nitty gritty. I call it the batshit crazy week, where all the girls start to feel a little jealous. It's a perfect storm here. So Nick's feeding them alcohol. They're going to do a competition. They all are the worst volleyball players of all time, so they suck at the competition. They're furious by the end of this.
They're all furious. No one's having fun. You said they suck at volleyball, but a few of them... So they all suck. They're all on that same level. A few of them don't care that they suck.
Yeah.
A handful... kind of competitive for no reason. Nothing worse than someone who's competitive at something they're terrible at when they have no reason to be. They're just awful to be around. Vanessa was like this, and I feel like, who was it, Jasmine or Rachel? I don't, no offense, but
Jasmine
one
and
of
Rachel
them...
both walked off by the
okay
end of
so
it.
They both walked off, so yeah, I'm
Vanessa
not, I'm
was
not
done Vanessa was done. The only one that seemed cool, that played it cool and didn't completely blow a gasket, was Raven. She's the only one who was cool about this whole thing.
It seemed like all the girls were upset for some reason. It just suddenly clicked on in their head that they're on this on The Bachelor. Because for some reason they were like, wait, I don't want to have to compete for Nick's attention. I'm not used to this.
So
I'm like,
weird.
You're on a competition dating show. What do you mean? Of course you have to compete for Nick's attention on a group date.
The funny part, I went back and watched. When they were all tripping, they were showing the score. It was 5-2. They'd been playing for 5 minutes, Grim. 5-2. They were all right, I'm done with this shit. It's not like they were playing a grueling 3-set matchup of volleyball. They were a minute into the game.
Yeah, and the points didn't take long. It
didn't take long
for someone to score.
It was one hit, and then you reserve.
I have a feeling the volleyball game started like 4 hours after they'd been on the beach.
I agree.
And it was cloudy as shit. They were probably, shout out, white people know that even when it's cloudy, you can still get a little sunburned. When you get sunburned, that makes you a little, you know, angry.
You're tired.
4 hours, they've been taking shots. They're all tired. The sun saps the energy out of you, AB. And then they all went and like found a little couch to like, curl up and pass out on.
That's what they all did. They all went off their own direction and no one talked to Nick.
And, well, not only did no one talk to Nick, Nick didn't go talk to anyone. Nope. He was just like, man, shitty group date. I'm gonna go like play in the sand. complete and utter disaster of a date. If Nick, if you're gonna cancel cocktail parties because you know maybe you shouldn't have it or you know what you want to do, you got to cancel this nighttime part of this day. Everyone wanted the nighttime part of the day canceled. That's a fact.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Alas, we did have a nighttime group date, AB. The fireworks kind of got kicked off in this group date. The mood was somber, to say the least. When you have six girls who are hungover, we got a lot of one-on-one time, though. A lot of girls got some solo time with Nick. Now, the theme of this nighttime group date was Jasmine flying off at the handle. Yeah. Okay. She has a legitimate gripe. She hasn't had a one-on-one. She hasn't gotten a group date rose. She, to my knowledge, hasn't gotten one-on-one time during a date.
Nope.
Like, I don't recall them ever talking to one another. So she's got a real gripe. Now, Nick knows this, or you would think that Nick knows this. So with a semi-small group date, logic says pick Jasmine early.
Yeah, talk to her first.
Mm-hmm. Talk to her. Keep her from shooting up the place.
Before this goes nuclear.
What an oversight. He picked Rachel. He talked to Raven. Someone else. He talked to Raven. He talked to some. He might even called one of the girls he already sent home, for all we know. And finally, now my beef with Jasmine, of course, is she does all this complaining to all the other girls, and they're not trying to hear it. We're not trying to hear it. All the energy she puts into complaining about not talking to Nick, she could instead put into getting Nick's attention and talking to him. What do you think?
I'm with you, Rim. Get up and steal him. You think Corinne's going to sit back and not be noticed? No, sir. And that's why Corinne's still here. Get up and steal Nick's time.
Every time Nick came back to talk to another girl, hey, Raven, can I talk to you for a second? She'd get this stank look on her face.
Yeah.
Stank face is the new phrase this season. She'd get this stank look on her face and be like, oh, I can't believe you didn't pick me. And then she'd complain some more. It's almost like she didn't want him to pick her.
No. She wanted to be mad about it.
Finally, Nick pulls her aside.
You want to talk about walking into the lion's den, Rim? Holy cow. Ooh, whoa. About to get his head ripped off. You knew when he picked her, it was about to pop off. You knew that.
And he sucks at confrontation, too. So he was probably trying to avoid her, if we're being honest. He probably was hoping he could get through the season without ever talking to Jasmine. Just not give her a rose at the next ceremony. Jasmine's like a hose that you got turned up to the max, and then you pinch it and hold it. And then you just fuck let that shit loose, and it fucking sprayed your ass right in the face.
My favorite part of the whole deal was, you know, after like 2 or 3 minutes of her going off and saying that she doesn't feel it's fair and she doesn't think he pays attention to her, he goes, so, are you saying you are okay or not? What are you talking about, Nick? So clear she's not okay.
I have the same note. He was kind of like reverse psychology, trying to get her to go home on her own.
Yeah.
Like he was like, oh, like she goes off on him, and then he's like, oh, so are you good, or like, do you want to go home?
Oh, man. That's just the perfect representation of Nick handling confrontation. Yeah. So are you good? Right in the middle of her clearly about to go off the deep end, asking someone if they're good is the worst possible thing to say.
She was like, I want to cut myself. And he's like, is everything okay? Or seems like you might need to go home. AB, she made a lot of okay points.
Yeah.
Until she got to the part where she said she wanted to choke him.
I want
to
choke now, you so bad.
Joking or not. Okay. Number one, you guys don't know each other well enough to know that she's joking. Number two, even if he knows it's a joke, it's not a funny one. It's uncomfortable. Nope. You're on The Bachelor. This show is known for having some crazies on it. You can't say that. Number one.
No.
She took it a step further and fake choked him.
Multiple times.
Have you ever seen a total meltdown like this on this show?
It's like
a 1 minute meltdown.
This was so cringeworthy. It was extremely hard. It just made the skin on the back of your neck like.
I mean,
I got a choke counter here, Rim. Got a choke
counter?
Oh,
let's go to AB's choke counter. AB's choke counter brought to you by the chicken fingers I choked on one time at Chili's in college. I just told that story today. I had to get the Heimlich. Shout out to the guy who saved my life. AB's choke counter brought to you by Chili's.
We have 6 mentions of Jasmine choking out Nick. You understand? I want to choke you so bad. Do you want me to put you in a chokey? I don't know what the fuck a chokey is.
Just a fun little, just a loose chokehold. Just a fun. It's a way to make choking fun again.
I don't want to go through all the time she said choke, but it was versions of that 6 times. I want to choke you so bad, and this is all to him, not including.
Oh, that was my next question.
Not including ones to, you know, before she started talking to him, where she said she's gonna punch him in the face or choke him or whatever. This was to him. She's talking about choking him. 6 times.
Amazing. AB's choke counter brought to you by Chili's. The tipping point for me was when she realized that what she was doing was batshit crazy and then doubled down on the craziness by tripling down. Okay. On the craziness by saying, oh, it's sexual. And then he's like, I mean, he was already so not into it. And then that made it even more uncomfortable. And then she didn't pick up on his facial cues and realize that he's not liking this. And then she presses a little bit too far, a little bit too far. And then she stops talking. And it's that time. You know what? You knew what time it was.
Jasmine on the way out, though, when she's in the limo, she does make a solid point. I don't really think he knows what he wants to do here. I don't think it's going to work out for him, flat out, is what she said. I don't think it's going to work out for him. Just throw a little shade on him on your way out.
She's right. She's right. She's a total lunatic. She cried on the first episode, and she fake choked The Bachelor 6 times, like you said, but she has a point. The guy, it's not going to work out for this guy.
No, it's sure not.
All right, should we go to the 2-on-1 date? The only 2 girls we haven't really touched on this episode, Danielle L. and Whitney. Were you surprised by this pairing?
I was surprised that there was a 2-on-1 date during this episode at all. It was right after the last 2-on-1 date, like the next day. There's no juice to this 2-on-1 date. A 2-on-1 date is great because you get rid of one of the people you don't like, and it's kind of a head-to-head battle between the two people. But these two didn't give a shit about each other. What's the point of this, Nick?
You could not have picked a more tame 2-on-1 date.
Nick says he's had moments with each of these women where he thinks that she could be the one. Rim, show me the damn tapes of this girl talking to Nick.
Nick's moment that he thought Whitney could be the one was when she walked out of the limo and looked hot. That's Nick's moments.
We shit on Nick a lot, Rim.
Rightfully so.
It's completely warranted. The dude's swimsuit game.
Is
right on point. Perfect length of the swimsuits. Perfect prints. Even the biggest Nick haters can't deny that the man's swimsuit game is right where it needs to be.
He's the king of trunks. He's the king of trunks, AB. The length is money. The guy's got a great body, too. Great. There's no doubt about it. I hope I look like that when I'm his age in 7 years. The first time we see Nick and Whitney one-on-one together in the show, episode 2nd part of episode 6, the first thing he says to her is, I don't know if you've noticed, but you're really beautiful.
He keeps doing stuff that, who are you? Is this a real person?
Why would you say that to someone at any point? Like, why? If you really think that there's a chance you could marry this girl, hopefully at this point, you've established the fact that you are physically attracted to one another. I don't know if you've noticed, but you're really beautiful. Should not be a way you start a conversation.
That's the worst possible way to tell a girl that they're beautiful. What should be a great compliment is somehow really scummy coming out that way.
Well, it plays into every girl's natural self-consciousness.
Yep.
So he implies, well, hey, maybe you haven't noticed this, but you are beautiful.
What a joke.
AB, as the father of a daughter, I mean, don't let your daughter talk to a guy like Nick, all right?
That's my worst nightmare. Is one day Isabel coming home with a fucking guy like Nick. Scumbag like him.
Shout out to Nick for rubbing the inside of her leg with kind of slowly and creepily without consent. I imagine Whitney didn't imply consent in that situation. She was not into it. Poor Whitney. Just treated like a piece of meat this episode. Yeah. Really sad. Really sad.
Back at the house, Rim.
Back at the house. Favorite part of the recap. Back at the house.
Vanessa and Danielle talking about the other Danielle, who was apparently... earned a nickname D-Lo? I don't know. I'm in. I'm going to call her D-Lo from here on out.
Absolutely.
I love it. But one thing that kind of comes out of it, Rim, is the girls in the house, for some reason, are haters. They don't think, like, they kind of weren't in on Danielle. They said they don't think she's got a good relationship with him. And this is coming out of complete left field for me, isn't it? With you?
That surprised me as well. It probably has to do with her age. I think Danielle L is like 24, and Danielle M and Vanessa, the culprits of the soft smack talk. I'm not going to make it seem like they were ripping to shreds.
Nothing too bad.
But they were just, you know, as 30, 31-year-olds, they're saying, hey, you know, she's probably not ready to marry a 36-year-old man. I mean, it's a valid criticism. They said it in a little catty way, but I think it's an age thing. I don't think it was a maturity thing, though. If it were, that would be valid too. Let's not lie.
Yeah, they said they can't see him picking her. Okay. I was kind of surprised by that, but turned out. Moving on.
Moving on. All right. The Danielle L one-on-one time. On the beach still, during the two-on-one date. I don't even remember what these two talked about while they were in their little cabana on the beach. All I know is they talked for like a minute and a half, and Nick was like, hey, can you wait right here? Probably interrupted her because he's rude as shit. Hey, can you wait right here? I'm going to go send Whitney home. Is that cool with you? And she's like, oh, okay. And that was it. And then he sent Whitney home and walked over to Whitney's thing. He was like, hey.
Hey, so, buddy. Hey.
They probably cut it out, but he probably tried to convince her like she should go home under her own volition without him having to make the decision. Shout out to Whitney, though. When she gets the boot, she's like, okay, so you think Danielle's ready for a relationship? And Nick with the predictable, it's not really about Danielle. It's about you and I. So I wish nothing but the best for you.
I'm going to go hop on this in this helicopter. You find your own way.
Nick goes to the beach with two women. Okay, let me just break this two-on-one date down at a base level for you.
Okay.
Nick goes on a two-on-one date with two women. They're semi-clothed. They go to the beach. They become less clothed. Nick walks, goes and sits by one for a minute, goes and sits by the other for a minute, and then goes back to the other one and sends the other one home. What do you think he based his choice on?
This seemed to me like he knew coming in he was just going to send Whitney home, and let's just turn this into a one-on-one. That's all this was. It was a one-on-one date with Danielle. I mean, it lasted like 10 minutes of the two-on-one. It was a joke.
Pathetic use of a two-on-one. Yeah. I mean, do you think we'll get another two-on-one this season?
No, absolutely not.
Sad. Sad. With that said, let's go to the nighttime one-on-one, AB, you know? All right, we sent Whitney home, sent three girls home during the rose ceremony, sent Jasmine home. You want to count Taylor at the beginning of the episode, technically? Sent a bunch of girls home.
That's six people this episode, Rim.
If you count Taylor, Danielle L is safe. Obviously, Nick's infatuated with her looks, and who wouldn't be? She's ready to take the next step.
And she's a sweetheart.
She's very nice. She's nice.
She's a nice she's girl. Nice.
I don't think she reached another level with him after making an initial connection. I don't think they went below the surface, really.
I agree. They did not have any good conversations. It was all surface level the entire time, including this date.
So on that sense, I can understand why maybe he didn't feel at the same point as she was when she indicated that she could see herself falling in love with Nick. But even so, I mean, sending her home, like, pump the brakes on the fucking Apollo hook, you know, the Apollo Theater hook over here. Nick just ripping girls off the stage left and right.
He asked her an interesting question at one point. Let's say you can't say communication and honesty as your two must-haves for a relationship. Describe one or two words that would show the relationship that you want, that would describe the relationship. She comes with love and trust.
Bland.
Too super bland, surface level. I'd say at that moment, it was completely over. His eyes. He was dead in the inside. That's the look that he was giving. I am dead right now.
Well, he was drunk. I mean, people forget that Nick is always drunk, and when he's sobering up during dinner time, he kind of like dozes off a little bit, but you're right. First off, she was totally taken aback by the question. He sounded like he asked that question like he was reading it off a note card that the producers gave to him, but like it wasn't written in a full sentence. It was just like, I don't know, two or three words maybe about relationship, not communication though. His two words were adventurous and raw. What the fuck, dude?
Raw.
What? You get two words and you pick raw as one of them? Oh my god. And you know, one indicator that this was not going to end well was that they talk more about how they have great conversations more often than they actually have great conversations.
All they talk about is their past date. They never are talking about themselves because there's nothing there. I think she's pretty basic in terms of she's a normal person. She doesn't have that Christina wow story. And Nick's not interested in just hearing about, you know, your family and things about you. He's not interested in that.
Your regular life.
Yeah, regular. Nick's not trying to have a regular life, period. No one on four seasons of The Bachelor is looking for a regular life.
Danielle L., when she made her big I'm falling in love with you speech, it seemed empty to me, and that made me think she doesn't really feel these things. She's just saying them because this is the next – if The Bachelor is a board game, this is the next step your thimble has to take, right? So she said, I'm glad we're having these conversations. My feelings are a little stronger today, and I want you to know that I am falling in love with you. I just want you to know that. I mean, she said it like, okay, I have to say this thing now, not like it was coming from her heart. You know what I mean?
I didn't buy it.
It was empty.
Yeah, it was empty. Good point.
What do you grade this breakup? He's the king of awful breakups. How do you think he handled this breakup?
This was one of the most awkward. He didn't really say anything after she kind of told him she loved him. He didn't say anything, but you knew it was about to happen. It was just very awkward. He didn't really have a good reason behind it either. And you know the worst thing a bachelor can say to a girl that he's sending home? Hope I'm not making a mistake here. Oh, so you're not 100% about this decision? Why are you doing it in the middle of that fucking date then, Nick? What the fuck? Why don't you just give it a little bit? You don't have to do this right now.
God, this guy, he's an idiot. Yeah, you're right. Why would you tell a girl, no one's got a gun to your head saying date. Send her home.
Why don't you just sleep on it a little bit? Maybe let the hangover fucking ease off a bit.
AB, he sent Danielle L. home because he had a pounding headache and didn't want to do the date anymore. Yeah. That's it. You can tell. Run the tape back. Look at his face. He's like, he's not even looking at her. He's just like, Jesus. Get the guy a Pedialyte and
mouth's all sleep dry. It off.
And he's speaking incoherently. I hope this isn't a huge mistake, but I'm sending you home. And then he like licks his lips. This guy kept Corinne and but got rid of Danielle L. and Whitney. Both of them.
This was obviously the most shocking of the season, which has had a lot of, he's let go of all the sweethearts. So we're kind of starting to figure out what's going on here. Rim. He got rid of Sarah. He got rid of Brittany too early. She's a
Brittany
sweetheart.
Way too early.
He got
way
rid
too
of,
early.
I mean, it's a joke. And now he's got rid of this girl, who I thought was a for sure. Until this episode, I was thinking pretty good about her.
All right, so now we're left with six. AB total. Now, he's like, we agree that he's let go of some keepers early, and we agree that he let some girls who had no shot linger for too long, such as Whitney and Jasmine. I mean, can you fucking believe Jasmine was on this episode at all? I mean, that's neither here nor there. We got Corinne, Danielle M., who has major plateau since the second episode when she had her one-on-one date. She hasn't done shit since.
That's a lot of them, though. Vanessa's the same way, Rim. What has she done?
Okay, I hear your point. I hear your point. Well, at least she had that moment after the bouncy castle.
Listen, you come at my favorite, I'm coming at your favorite. You understand me?
Danielle M. is still your favorite?
Yeah.
But I actually, when you say shit about Vanessa, like, it hits me inside. Like, it's not just conversation. I'm like, I'm ready to fight.
She's still my favorite right now.
Favorite to win or your personal favorite? That's a huge distinction because we think differently than this scumbag.
I have no clue who's going to win at this time. Literally no clue. My two favorites, that I thought would win, Danielle or Vanessa, haven't done shit in like 4 weeks now. How can I possibly pick them to win now?
This is the point I'm getting at. So we have Corinne, Danielle M., Rachel, Christina, Raven, and Vanessa. Those are our six. Any one of those girls can win.
I agree. Great point.
They all have a 17% chance or whatever, mm-hmm. Shout out to Hitty, math, chance of winning. It could be anybody. With that said, let's do power rankings before we talk about Nick's crying ass.
Bottom person right now. It's tough. We got. Did you even say Raven? You say Raven?
I said Raven. Okay. I said Raven. This is an impossible power ranking.
This is tough.
Okay, it's impossible.
This is
might
very
as well just
tough.
Roll a six-sided dice.
Honestly, you could put anyone any level of this power ranking, and it would be absolutely justifiable. And I'm not. This is unreal. We're setting up for a good couple weeks here. You go first. I need some time.
It's going to be really good or really bad. I'll put it that way. All right. Number six. And this is strictly how I think Nick will eliminate them. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
Number six. Christina. Raven.
Five. Okay.
Danielle M. Rachel. Corinne, Vanessa. He's going to pick Vanessa. They're not going to end up together. Corinne's heart will be broken in the final two, and that's going to make for awesome television. Vanessa and Nick will pick Vanessa, probably not get on one knee, because that's not what he's here for, and then Vanessa will be the next Bachelorette, and our dream of Rachel will be dashed. All right, let me get your top six. Love my theory, by the way.
That's an excellent prediction. Very detailed. I love it. Love everything about that prediction.
Thanks,
my power rankings. Six, Rachel.
Ah, come on, man. Black History Month?
I don't want to do it. But when I, you know, she had a bad episode too. She talked about going, I think she might leave on her own.
I would respect the shit that? Out of her if she did that. I would love if she did that. I wish all these.
She talked about leaving this
I
episode.
Wish all these girls would leave on their own. I wish they would all go on strike and no one.
I got to put Christina number five. Raven number four. Vanessa number three. Danielle number two. Corinne number one as the winner. I mean, why do we continue to make these predictions that Nick's going to do the right thing? I'm just going all in the other way, that this dumbass is going to make a terrible decision and choose the worst girl on the show.
I think this is our first official power rankings as Nick, as how we think Nick's going to handle it. Previously, our power rankings have had a little dollop of personal taste. The Rim and AB sauce, if you will. But this is, okay, if we approach it like Nick, then yeah, basically do the reverse of how much you like the girls, and then that's how they'll be settled.
Yeah.
Speaking of this scumbag, what do you make of this move? Shout out to Tony Kornheiser. He always just asks the people on his show, what do you make of this? It's a good way to get the conversation going. AB, Nick shows up to the girls' hotel room where they're having girl talk. Chilling in their sweats, and Nick shows up after sending both girls home on their 2-on-1, and he starts crying about how he's scared he might not find the right one here. What do you make of this?
That's a great way to build some confidence in your relationships, Rim, is telling girls that you're just not sure if it's going to work with any of them, and he might fall out of love with all of you at any given moment. I don't think any of you might be the one. Sorry. And I'm going to dip.
That's, anyway.
That's all he said.
He's like, anyway, I got to go. Anyways, good talking. It was such a self-serving speech. Like, what was the point of doing that? All, like you said, all he's doing is just scaring them. Christina said it best. She said he has 6 more women left, and he's still questioning if it's going to work for him. The girls just kind of sounded fed up with the BS, AB.
How could you not be?
Why do you think they were crying at the end? Were they crying because they care about Nick, or were they crying because they finally realized that this is the worst bachelor of all time, and now they hope he doesn't pick any of them?
Great question. I'm not even sure.
All right. Well, I mean, what would you grade this? To me, this was probably the best, most exciting episode of the season. We hate Nick officially now, but there was a lot of juice in this episode. A lot of shit went down.
7 fucking people. That's got to be our record, I would assume. 7 people went home.
Well, you can't count Taylor because she officially was sent home last episode. But 7 people, 7 people 6. Were on the episode that were not there at the end. I mean, it was like a goddamn rapture, AB. More than half the people were taken.
For this late in the season, it's got to be a record. It's got to be. I got one more tidbit for you, Rim.
You got a tidbit? I need a tidbit.
Bachelor tidbit.
I need a tidbit.
It's not going to help you with this season at all. It's not going to help you with this season at all. But, you know, a lot of people are wondering why Nick got picked instead of who did you think was going to be the Bachelor?
Luke.
Prior to this.
Luke Pell.
Okay. You know what Luke's doing lately?
Stripping.
He's got a booming country career coming. Right?
Really?
Yeah. www.lukepell.com. All right, cool. Check it
but
out.
But wouldn't you think being the Bachelor would boost that even more?
It would.
So bad tidbit.
I don't think he turned down the Bachelor. Do you think Luke turned down the Bachelor?
Well, okay, I see what you're saying. I just find it hard to believe that the producers would choose Nick over Luke. That took a minute to get through my skull to think that they would make that choice. Good tidbit, I guess. I'll check him out. Not. Country music stinks. All right, well, on that note, AB, you scared me at the beginning of the show. I mean, are there really only going to be 2 episodes? I thought there was a finite, like, an exact number of episodes. Like, are we really going to have 2 more left or what?
No, there's going to be more. It's going to start being 1 per episode. There'll be 1 next week. He's got to do a fucking rose ceremony, though, at the start of it, doesn't he? Or has he dropped off enough mid-episode that they can just skip the entire rose ceremony? I don't know. This is a backward season.
Yeah, you're right. I think next episode is the one.
Get back on
the
track.
One episode we get with no rose, with no one sent home.
That could be.
You know what I mean? He sent 2.5 episodes worth of people home this episode. So they got to have one without anybody going home. They have to.
Or they could just do 1 an episode, and then in 2 weeks they have hometowns. Next week cannot be hometowns. Like, not next. In 2 weeks cannot be hometowns. That's too soon.
You're right. All right. Well, AB, you've calmed my fears. I'm now confident that there will be enough episodes of this season of The Bachelor left for us to build the Rosecast brand to where we need it to be. We cannot stop the momentum of the Rosecast brand, AB. We're international. I can't tell you how many Canadian fans we have. Okay? I can't tell you. It's too many. I can't count that high. A lot of people in Canada. Shout out to our Canadian listeners. Shout out to all the other new listeners that are on the bandwagon. Shout out to our OG listeners who have been there since day 1 of the Rosecast and related podcasts. If you are listening on your iPhone, send the Rosecast to your friends and family. Shout out to your mother. Say hello to your mother for me. And everyone you work with also. Unless you work with me, then don't do that. Okay. Ignore that last part. And if you haven't already, rate and review the Rosecast 5 stars. Leave a nice review. We appreciate it so much. You will be rewarded in the afterlife. AB, a lot of people forget that we were ranked in the top 26 of the category. make the Rosecast ranked again.
Great slogan.
Shout out to Kevin Kennedy, my little brother, came up with it.
Nice.
Thank you for listening. See you next week. If you see Nick, tell him Herman A.B. you're looking for him.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.